Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to the Soul Prince Podcast. I'm your host, Akashic Vec, and this podcast is dedicated to the pursuit of purpose by navigating your spiritual awakening, investigating your gifts, or discovering your past lives and how they tie into your current one. And in my opinion, our awakening journey is synonymous with healing, and part of that healing is alchemizing our past, going through the steps of alchemy, which include calcination, dissolution, separation, conjunction, fermentation, distillation, and coagulation are all steps necessary in the process that allow us to step more fully into our authenticity and our truth. Today's guest and I will be discussing emotional alchemy and what that looks like and how they can help. I found this rad dude on TikTok, bringing some divine masculinity onto Soul Prince today. He's one of my favorite accounts by far. He is a West Coast native and life coach and emotional alchemist, spreading a powerful message of love, healing, acceptance, and gentle release of what no longer serves. He is a self-proclaimed rad dad with a style all his own. Please welcome to the podcast, Mr. Daniel Tyack. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Rebecca. That was the nicest intro I've ever had for a podcast. That was super sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. So welcome, and it is such an honor to have you here, truly. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. Had a little longer for a spring break, and so we got a little extra time, got a whole week with them. Normally it's like a 3-4 kind of split, and so we're having a good time hanging out and doing things.
Excellent. Oh man, well that is so amazing. So Daniel, we'll just kick this right off. Please tell our listeners about yourself, anything that you want to share, personal or professional.
Yeah. That's always such a funny question. What, like, tell us about yourself, or tell us who you are. Cause it always, I do a lot of my work is my, a lot of my peace and my own personal Zen has come from like kind of dissolving self.
Sure. And removing
those like elements of ego and just being and learning how to appreciate all the beauty of life around me. But I guess if there's an ego blip, I'm kind of a rogue skateboarding philosopher, rad dad, who just loves to teach and loves to do work with people in the emotional arena, helping people clear through old things, old stories, old traumas, old energetic stuff within them, kind of do a lot of like witchy energy work that's maybe applicable to modern society. Trying to speak the language of modern culture, you know what I mean? Just connect with people in a real way, helping people see that there is a much bigger perspective out there, a much bigger thing out there that, you know, some may define as God or source or energy or oneness or whatever it is, whatever the modality is, has a different way to describe it. But to let people see that there is so much more out there, so much more beauty in the world around them, they're just what we have our kind of head stuck in and stuck in our own elements of ego and who we are as a person. So to bring people peace in their experience and just allow them to enjoy the thing and to create the situation, the life that they want here on, you know, on human school, on our earth school, I like to call it.
Yes.
Just doing people stuff. So it's a kind of, I really enjoy just, like my bio says on TikTok, here to destroy dogmas and love you so hard, because it's like all the dogmas are the ego, all of the things to say, oh, it's got to be this way, it's got to be that way, otherwise I'm not okay. I just see that as these egoic constructs, you know, of mm-hmm. Oh, it has to be this way, and then as soon as you say it's this way, you draw this like tight black line around everything, and you say, oh, it's just this way, when it's every single way all at once.
Right.
And the journey is acceptance of all of those things. And when you can accept all of the things, you find all the beauty and you get to choose where you live and your perspective. So I just like kind of deconstructing life for people and allowing them to be loved and be accepted as who they are. And because once you do come to that point of acceptance of all of it, you can just accept everybody and you can love them and you don't have any fear of how they feel about you or what they think about you. And you can just be exactly who you want to be. And I found a very beautiful path in it. And I love teaching that to others. And I love doing the work of helping people unpack that, emotional stuff and the emotional alchemy sessions and just coming to peace with their experience, you know?
Right. And I appreciate that. That's another reason I wanted you to be on Soul Prints, because I feel like our perception is way more powerful than we were ever taught. And just by making these shifts, and it doesn't even have to be dramatic. It can just be gradual. It can be subtle, and it can, and you can work your way around it, can completely change our life and draw in the things that we were here to do. So I appreciate that so much.
Yay.
Okay, so let's get into some more questions, shall we? So you're a life coach, and I was just curious how you came to be a life coach and an emotional alchemist, and what exactly is emotional alchemy in your opinion?
So I working as, and it's funny, I do work as a life coach. I don't really like to bill myself as a life coach because, like, it's so hairy out there with all sorts of people. Just, it's almost like, here, let me deconstruct your ego and give you mine. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, oh, your ego's not working. Try this one on for size. So though I do life coaching, it's more kind of deconstructing and to bring into peace. And I do calls for coaching as well, where people can hit up, you know, just hit interested. There's a little contact form and you can just say, hey, I want to do a coaching call or want to do an emotional alchemy session. And so the coaching calls are just helping people through their process, through their, you know, whatever's going on in their life, and bringing them to peace. I just had one yesterday, you know. A lot of the times those calls are people that have delved deep into different elements of spirituality and or come out of Christianity or gone into different things. And they're just like, all of these things are here and I don't really know what to make of it. And I'll just sort of help them work through all that stuff and come to their own peace with it. Mm-hmm. But the big work I do is emotional alchemy, which is basically a modality that I developed when I was healing myself. And I don't even want to say I developed, it was sort of just given to me, just sort of downloaded, just discovered, just came to me as I was working through my own shit. And because I'd had a big giant life crash, and you know, the business went out and the wife left, and I had just, everything fell apart, every single element of who I thought I was as a person just was crumbled. And my ego of the way I thought things should be was just absolutely decimated. And I was left in this very just kind of deconstructed space where I was just hurting and all messed up and just really, really having a hard time with it. And I was completely broke and didn't have any money for therapy. And I just kind of started, I got introduced to meditation and I started meditating, and then I started reading a whole lot of stuff. And I just sort of, in meditation and reading, and also honestly riding a one wheel, I can talk about that a little bit, how that helped to bring me into the state of feeling and being in my body and staying in the moment. But these kind of, this interesting combo of life events brought me into this modality of emotional alchemy, which is a methodology for feeling deeply into the emotions of your body. And I see all of the feelings that we have in our body as effectively the subconscious. Every single thing that triggers in your body, all of the feelings and the tensions and the pit in your stomach and that hurt in your heart, or the anxiety or the depression feelings, or that cramp in your gut or that tightness in your throat, and all those things that we feel, you know, they line up with the Western nervous system, and they line up with the Eastern modalities of, like, the chakra systems and things like that. They line up with the endocrine system triggering hormones in your body. And it all works together to create these sensations. And all of those sensations are created within the mind. But the problem is, when we have all of these traumas and all this deep, you know, stuff that either has been something burnt out through a traumatic experience, or we've pushed an emotion down and the memories of it have been synoptically pruned out in our REM cycles of sleep. It's a methodology for digging into these deep feelings and then having the story behind the feeling revealed. So I look at effectively the sensations of the body and even anxiety and things like that as a negative self story, a negative self belief system. And we have this massive range of energetic understanding in our body of consciousness. We have our alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and theta brain waves. And I kind of talk about this a lot in videos and things. And we only have this very narrow window. It's less than 10%. I usually say it's about 10% just to make it easy on the math. But this very narrow window of how we perceive the world. And that's, I look at it as no more than the ego. It's our perception. It's the what comes in our senses, our sight and our taste and our touch and our smell and hearing and things like that. And then we bring those in. We read them through our lens of understanding, our context and our culture, our perception. And then we say, oh, this is the way it is. Meanwhile, our body feels a completely different way. And when anything in trauma research, we see that the body doesn't know the difference. The way the endocrine system fires, your hormone system fires, doesn't know the difference between a conscious or a subconscious thought. So if you don't have bodily zen and you're worked up, you have some subconscious thoughts that are plaguing you. And that they're not active thoughts like you think about them. They're conscious thoughts of the body, their feelings, their sensations. So emotional alchemy modality is a way of kind of going into a meditative state and feeling down into these root stories, feeling back into these childhood wounds and things that have happened to you and traumas as a child, and to open up these memories. And so very often, well, it's almost like EMDR. I actually call it like a little mushroom trip, because we go into, I call it the pain portal of that space that hurts. And we stay out of the mind. We stay out of those cover stories, and we go work down deep into these painful areas, and we allow that pain to be there, and we kind of sit in that pain portal a little bit. And because that pain portal, the actual physical sensations that you're feeling is a cortisol injection that happens in the whole body. It's the stress response. And when that cortisol hits, it actually opens up neuroplasticity. So all this neuron bonding that's happened through your learning experience gets opened, just like on psilocybin. And it's like a gentle, it's like a very small, gentle mushroom trip where you go into this, you feel this discomfort, it opens up neuroplasticity, and then we're able to reprogram the way that you feel about stuff by bringing that, you know, story. It could even be in family of origin stuff from your mom, stuff from your dad, from your grandparents. You know, sometimes these feelings come up. It brings that to the forefront of your mind, to your ego, to your alpha brainwaves in your upper consciousness. And then once you have a clear picture of what happened, while you have that open neuroplasticity, we're able to do a little reprogramming work and some visualization and some inner child healing and things like that. And it's the same as kind of shadow work. It's just my own methodology that seems to work systematically. I mean, every single time, you know, unless it's like real deep burnout trauma, it takes a little while to open up. But very often I'll have someone come in for a session, and in one session, they're like, oh my, they just have this like massive, you see the lights turn on. I'll have this like massive discovery, and they'll be like, I feel like I'm lifting out of my skin. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's like the feeling of freedom. Like, you're feeling more of the world around you because you're no longer blocking it. You're feeling more of the beauty around you. And so it's a real cool process of, which I've just been systematizing over the years and working with clients of, I just call it emotional alchemy. It's taking these old feelings, these old emotions, and bringing them into your present moment, into your present current reality, and sort of wiping the slate clean of these painful memories. Though you may still have the memory, you wipe the slate of the feelings of the memory, and you're able to function in your current reality in a beautiful way.
Wow. That was like Saul for the soul. Just you explaining that. That was incredible. And it sounds like, it's almost like reprogramming and deprogramming at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's truly like a session. And we'll usually just kind of go into one event at a time. But I look at it like a almost like, you know, when your vacuum hose gets all jammed up and you're like, what's in here? And you're like, there's a bunch of little like hairy stuff around the edge. You find that like the head of the fork, you know, that plastic fork that broke off and it just stuck up in there. And that little bastard is jammed it up. And as soon as you find that big thing that's jamming it up, it's like everything else clears through. And right. So as soon as somebody finds that heavy thing in there, that big trauma, that huge memory, and honestly, it can be the stupidest little thing sometimes. I can remember this one I pulled up in myself that I use as an example. I was feeling like I was disappointing people. Right. And I was like, why do I feel like I'm disappointing people? Like, I'm doing good work. I'm like a good dude. Like, why do I feel this way? And I went and did my own session sitting in there. And I found this story of of Christmas morning one year. You know, I was probably eight or something like that, young. And my sister and I were allowed to open one present before my parents woke up, because, you know, we'd be up at the butt crack of dawn, and they, you know, my parents were like, don't wake us up until the sun rises. So they let us open a present to play with. And then we had to wait for the rest. Well, one year, my sister and I, in our infinite wisdom, were like, let's open the big ones in the back. So we each opened like the big present. And I remember my dad coming out, and he was zenny. He was just super zenny as fuck. He was just chill. And he was never disappointed in us. And he was disappointed. He had this feeling of like, dude, like, come on. You know, it's just the simple parent ego of wanting to see their kid like excited about the present they spent good money on. And I get that as a parent, you know. And I just felt this feeling of like, oh shit, I've disappointed dad. And it was this like deep, like, oh, I'm disappointing people. And it was like, it wasn't a big trauma. It was just like a kind of a heavy energetic memory that stuck with me. And I identified that feeling of disappointing people with that feeling of disappointing my dad in that moment. And it's like, we learn these energetic memories. And I use the analogy of how we pull the toilet paper off the roll. Like, anybody listening, like, to think about how you pull the toilet paper off the roll. Do you wad it up, or do you fold it? Like, Rebecca, how do you do it?
I fold it.
You fold it. So you had to kind of think about it for a second. You're like, I fold it. Like, well, it's like, who taught you that? You know, when did you learn that? You know, the person that taught you to wipe your ass taught you that. You learned it when you were a kid, and you've just been doing it the whole time, and you never think about it. And that's the same way we do feelings. And it's like, I learned that feeling at that moment of, oh, I'm disappointing. I'm a disappointment. I'm like disappointing people with my actions. And for whatever reason, that stuck with me. And as soon as I was able to go in there and reprogram that, I didn't feel like I was disappointing people anymore. And sometimes it's really big things, you know, it can be trauma things, it can be, you know, sexual assault things, it can be real heavy stuff that I've worked with, but sometimes it's just these little memories. And so it's like, once you kind of clear the big stuff out, and, you know, not saying that that was a big thing for me, that was just this like little lingering sensation. I've had other big things come up, and it's like, once you clear the big ones and you kind of learn how to feel through it in your own body, you sort of learn how to let go of all the little ones. And it just flows through, and you come to this really nicely balanced state, like in your body, of this like emotional zen, where you're just like, oh, I'm good. Everything's great. And you create this everything's great reality for yourself, and you create all the beauty around you all the time, because that's the way you feel. And however you feel is what you create. Because the way you're feeling is what you're actually putting out in the field electromagnetically to create your reality. And so we think one thing, oh, I'm going to manifest this thing. I'm going to manifest this thing. But if you can't feel it, you're not going to do it. Because that's 90% of your power. You only got this little 10% of thought. The rest of it is how you actually feel about it. So when you're able to reprogram those things, like the small ones and the big ones, you change your reality.
Absolutely. You know, we're taught, just in society, we're taught, you know, to suppress our emotions and not, you know, let ourselves feel the things that we need to feel through in order to heal these things.
Oh, yeah.
And especially, I feel like with men in particular, you know, they're taught, you know, boys don't cry, and, you know, you're supposed to suck it up and just, you know, then you like end up bottling all these things inside of you, which, I mean, anybody can go through that, but
yeah, men are taught like, oh, boys don't cry, and girls are taught, oh, you're too emotional.
Exactly.
It's like shut the fuck up. We all have these emotions. That's literally the nature of life. It's energy in motion. That's what an emotion is.
Absolutely.
We all have these things flowing all the time, and we're feeling every single thing of life all the time, just by the nature of the way that energetic field works. Like, we're all feeling the same things, and that's when it comes to perspective. It's the way that you interpret the sensations. Like, every single one of us is feeling all of the things at the same time, and we block it based on how we are trained to perceive it.
Right. Excellent. I love that entire description. And it too, you know, it's nice I mean, even just saying that, I feel like it's validating, you know, for so many people, because they, I mean, it's a process to go through the, like you said, the deconstruction of, you know, what we've been fed, what we've been taught, you know, how we show up in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the perspective. It's like how you've been trained to feel.
Right.
Is how
the power
you show
of
up.
Perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. And how we've, and it's like, it's a perspective of the conscious mind, but it's also a perspective of how you feel. And
right.
How you feel is much more than the conscious mind. The conscious mind is the ego. That is your understanding of the way things should be.
Sure. Absolutely. I love that. Oh, man. Well, thank you for sharing that. That was so powerful.
You're welcome.
So, as I mentioned at the beginning, I found you on TikTok. And you showed up in my For You page, and I was totally on board with everything you were saying. I was like, this dude gets it, right? And at this point, you have, I think we said about 75,000 followers. Is that right?
I think it hit 76 today, and then it's one of the videos is up in the algorithm right now, and it's definitely like. Every time I look at my phone today, it's like 99 notifications. So there's a ton of people following me. But it kind of does that. Like it'll pick up a video or two and then I'll get like a ton of notifications. Then it goes for, you know, a few days or a week with just kind of little, and then it's like picks up again. And so I'm guessing it'll probably hit 80,000 in the next like 2 weeks.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been wild. I honestly never expected TikTok to, honestly, when I started it, I had this gut feeling. I was like, I need to start teaching. Like, I need to like start talking about this stuff. I had been running this meditation circle for a year and a half after it was right after that, my life had crashed and I spent about 3 years kind of healing myself and just kind of being in solitude and learning all this stuff and reading and just studying and meditating and just like having this like internal, like work time. And then I came right out of that at the beginning of COVID and I just started meditating out of the beach cliffs every day and started inviting people. And it ended up being this big old thing for like a year and a half. And, you know, there'd be 30 people there every morning at 6:30 in the morning and had this whole community like built up around it. And then I ended up finishing that off. It just sort of came to an end and it was like time to transition. And I was like, I just had this like burning thing in my gut. I was like, I got to teach. Like I have to like talk about all this stuff because I hadn't been teaching much. I'd just been sort of holding space, just like, hey guys, come on and meditate. I love you. And I'd learned how to feel my feelings deeply and I'd learned how to feel into everybody else deeply, like holding the space for the circle. And I could like touch somebody's body, like rub their shoulders and feel what they were holding and be able to like tell them their story on this. And they were like, what the fuck? You know, I was like, I don't know what's happening. Because I was just kind of tapped in on this deeper level. Mm-hmm. And it's just from like such a zenny time of life, you know, just of like clearing my mind and clearing my emotions and feeling everything around me. And I ended up starting at the TikTok because I was like, okay, this is like a neutral platform. I had my Instagram and Facebook going for, you know, years and years and years and had followers from my old business. And even when I was within Christianity, following from there and things like that. And I was just kind of like, I'm just going to start a TikTok because it's kind of like good practice. Like it's just kind of a shit show over there, you know. It's like it's the Wild West. You just throw something up there and then it disappears after a little while. It's like,
right,
like no big deal. And it took maybe 6 weeks before it really caught on, and I was making like 4 to 6 videos a day. I just felt it in my gut. I would just wake up in the morning all butt early, I'd meditate, and by the time I was done meditating, I had so many video thoughts and like I was like, I gotta go. And I'd ride my bike down to the coffee shop and grab a coffee and go take a little walk on the roads out there behind in Encinitas and these little beautiful roads that are all kind of wander around back there, all these like palm trees and stuff and just sun rays shining through. It's just a real beautiful area. It's right over by, if you're familiar with San Diego or Encinitas, it's right by the Self-Realization Fellowship where Yogananda had established. He was kind of the first yogi to come to the West. So it's just like a real beautiful space. It's like a really cool energy there and a lot of like spiritual folks. So I just started doing that, and I was just cranking out these videos, and it took off. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, I had like a couple thousand followers, and then all of a sudden it was like 10,000 followers. And I'm like, well, we hit 10,000. Then like the next week it's like 20,000 followers. And I was like, holy shit, we got 20,000 followers. And then it was like, it just keeps like, some days it's been, you know, some days it's, you know, just kind of a couple hundred followers, and some days it's 5,000 followers. And it's just wild how it is. Like I said, it's the Wild West. So it's been creeping up, and I'm grateful that everybody's enjoying the content, but at the same time, I'm not doing it for the followers. I'm just doing it because it's my truth and like what I feel. And even when I go to make a video, I'm not planning it out. I just have like one note in my phone of a single line of something to talk about, or maybe it just comes to me as soon as I'm done making a video. Sometimes like a new idea comes to me, it just sort of like shows up in my heart. And mm-hmm. I don't speak from my head. I speak from my heart, and I just let it come out. And it's a very intentional like way of feeling, and not preaching from the ego, but really like letting my heart come out, like how I feel about stuff. And I think that's the ticket, is just that authenticity of like kind of tapping in with everybody around, like, hey, what does everybody need to hear right now? Or not even thinking about what people need to hear, like, what needs to come out of me and my most authentic being. And then when that comes out, that's the best. Those are the most watched and most what best received videos. Like the more I'm not in a space of ego of demanding it be one way, or I have to teach something, just whatever I'm feeling, those are the most like effective ones.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like that kind of energy, you know, people are picking up on that, you know, whether they realize it consciously or subconsciously, they're picking up on that kind of authentic energy, and they are wanting to perpetuate that in their own life. And and that's why, you know, and that's something that I personally preach, is how important it is to stand in your truth, speak your truth, be authentic, be completely who you are. And, you know, release any guilt or shame associated with that, because that is how we heal. And then by being that way, we perpetuate it in other people, because they're like, I want that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's like, authenticity always shines through, because mm-hmm. authenticity is like, whoever, like, it's such a meaningful thing. Everything is so fake. Everything mm-hmm. is so constructed. Everything is so, oh, I'm going to be so perfect about this or that. I'm going to, you know, like, just curate my feed just right to present right. my best self. And honestly, sometimes something comes out of my mouth that's authentic, and I'm like, oh, shit, I said that, didn't I? Oh, shit.
I
said that, didn't I? It really came out of my mouth. And I'm like, oh, well, got to post it. You know, that was real. And then sometimes I'll post something where I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get some flack from this. But I know it came from like a really authentic space. And then mm-hmm. everybody's like, oh, my God, I feel the same way. Thank you for saying that. And I was like, oh, neat. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Those uncomfortable truths.
Yeah, totally. It's like people all feel it. We all feel the same things. And
yeah.
the more somebody is authentic in their actions, the more they are truly bringing their gift to the world. I mean, honestly, from like the baseline electromagnetic structure that we are, like, we are all intrinsically unique, like completely and totally unique, the way we are structured atomically. Like mm-hmm. there is nobody like you out there, nobody like any of us out there. And the more we bring that authentic self out in the world, the more people appreciate it, because it's another element of the whole. It's another, you know, we call it like a fractal of God, a fractal of the whole, or something like that. People extremely resonate with authenticity. And that's where you got to move past those fears and heal those negative self-worth and those negative stories, so you can bring your full and complete gift to the world. And when you do that, that's what is the most effective thing. And it's the funniest thing, because it's like, once you move past your fear and you bring whatever it is you to the world, it doesn't have to be perfect. There is no perfect. It just has to be you. And that's perfect.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I will say, you know, your approach to it also has a lot to do with, you know, people receiving your message, because you have this like laid back philosopher vibe that you know, I really appreciate. And then you also have this like colorful side where, you know, you're wearing like cool sunglasses, you know, and things like that. And you're being silly, or you're like talking and skateboarding at the same time, which I find impressive. I can barely like walk and talk at the same time. So
yeah,
I'm like, well, this guy knows what it's about. I just need to listen to him right now.
Yeah. And all of that stuff is just very authentic. Like I mean, it's funny. I'm doing a TikTok live right now while I'm talking about this, and I'm literally wearing like those green glasses, like the green goblin ones that I'm wearing, that
yes,
like, bright, silly shirt. And it's like, the more I just kind of rested into life, the more I was okay with myself, the more I just wanted to express in some way. And part of the way that I express in my just appearance is also breaking dogmas. It's mm-hmm. like, I will break the dogma of stodgy society and everybody all uptight with a stick up their ass simply by being, you know yes. what I mean? I will walk through the street with a big dumb Hawaiian shirt on and some ridiculous glasses and a mullet and just be like, fuck it, let's party. And what let's I mean by that is, let's revel deeply in all of the beauty around, because it's totally okay to do that. And it's like, the more I just do that authentically, the more everybody's like, oh my God, I love your vibe. And it's like, I'm just being me. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm like, I'll be at a thrift store and I'm like, ooh, this shirt's awesome. Oh, these glasses are awesome. You know what I mean? And I mean, even the glasses gimmick. I just had this one pair of green glasses, which I'm wearing right now. The funky retro-y ones. They were like a gift from the universe. I was cleaning up the meditation circle one morning. It was like 5:30 in the morning. I would do like a meditation before everybody came in. It was out there. It was cold. And I was cleaning up trash before I sat down and meditated. And I was like, oh, what's this? And there was like some glasses sitting there, and I picked them up, and they were freshies. Like, I swear they'd never been worn. There was not a bit of like grease on them at all. They were just like perfectly clean. And I like opened them up, and they're like, you know, you're like, I was like, damn, these are fresh. And I put them up on the little rail on like the little pillar there by the entrance to see if anybody would come for them. Cause I was like, this is a nice pair of glasses, you know?
Yeah.
And nobody came. And then we were finishing up the circle, and I was like, well, I guess they're mine. And I just started wearing them, and I was like, God, these things are so perfect. I love them. And they were just like silly and fun and just like not your standard thing. And then I ended up, even the skateboarding thing, I just like skateboarding. It's like a flow state for me. I like being out and moving my body. It's sort of like a yoga for me. And going fast, and I decided one day, I was like, oh, I'm gonna make a video on skateboarding. I was like, that'll be cool. And when it was the video of let's drop spirituality, and that was the first video that ever went off for me. Mm-hmm. And because it was such a flow state where I was going way too fast and I was wearing the green glasses, you know what I mean? And I was, it's like in that flow state, like speaking from the heart, my entire ego was wrapped up in not dying. All of my senses were perceiving the rocks in front of me, perceiving the undulations in the road, looking for cars coming. You know, I'm like ripping down this little alley and just shredding along. And it's like my entire ego was all wrapped up in not letting my meat suit eat shit, because I know exactly what that feels like. And that's a teacher.
Right.
You know, I know right. what that fucking feels like, and I hate it. So it's like my ego is entirely wrapped up in like keeping myself alive. And so then my heart just came out, and it was entirely this really beautiful video of this, like, I never planned it. It just came out, and then everybody was like, oh my God, I feel the same way. A lot of people were mad about it. And those are the people that didn't get what I was talking about, but that's okay. They'll get there eventually. And it's like this, the whole thing, that whole expression thing, like the whole skateboarding thing, it's just literally me doing things I like. I'm not contriving any of it. I'm like, I'll make a video on a skateboard, because that seems cool. I like skateboarding. I like making videos. Let's mash it up, kids, you know? And sure enough, it's like, those are the ones that really hit people. They're so authentic, because it's just somebody out there being like their true authentic self. And it's not contrived. And so then everyone feels it, and they're like, oh, this is great. You know, and that's the beauty of that expression, when you can move past your wounds and you can move past your fear and you can just do the things that feel good to you. And maybe that's,
right.
you know, maybe that's dressing up like a goth, and maybe that's dressing up like some ridiculous dude in a Hawaiian shirt with some silly glasses skateboarding down the street, making some videos. And it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's all there, and everybody does it their own way, because we're all so unique and intrinsically us, to really like heal those negative self stories and to bring your full self to the world is exactly what the world needs. That's going to connect with people authentically.
Yeah. Amen, brother. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
The last thing I will say about TikTok before we move on is what do your kids think about you being on TikTok and having all of these followers, or do they?
Oh, they love it. They love it. Nelly's on TikTok. Aiden does Instagram. He makes all these cool little like scooter videos, and he's pretty rad on a scooter. He's definitely like doing some good tricks, and he makes some cool like trick videos and stuff. So he's got his own little following on Instagram, and Nelly's on TikTok, and she does little dances and little art stuff. It's super cute. Or we'll do little dances together and things. And they love it. You know what I mean? They're like, I'm like, hey, guess what, guys? We hit 10,000 followers. And they're like, oh my God, yay. You know, they're all excited. You know, they're all winning with me. They'll jump on lives with me and stuff. And we've gotten banned from lives 3 different times for having kids on it. I'm something like, I left the live one time and Nelly was hosting by herself. I was over there making tea and we got banned for like 8 months and I had to appeal it. It was this big shit show. But it's fun having them be a part of it and like get on the live. So like Nelly was right before we started, she was on the live goofing around and being silly and wearing a fake mustache and, you know, she had her sunglasses on and just being, being a dork. And you know what I mean? It's like, we have a great time doing it and they love it. So, and they're the
Nelly sounds like my kind of people.
Oh, she's great. Yeah. She's great. Aiden's phenomenal too. They both have personalities. Nelly's is very close to mine, just this little fireball. We're both manifestors in human design, and we both kind of show up in a big way. And Aiden is this like cool as could be, like kind of Capricorn vibes. He's just cool as shit. He's just like vibing, like he vibes with his friends, and he's just always wearing some like ridiculous colors and a flop hat and kind of grunge, kind of different, like his own style. And it's the funniest thing at school, like it's Aiden just chilling. He's just like vibing. And there's this like swirl of 6 other kids around him, like these girls and these guys. And they're just like he was always kind of in the middle of it, but he's always just like cool as shit. And they're all swirling around because he's just so like centered in himself and just doing his own thing. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
they're great. They both have their own like cool personalities. And I love it. It's super fun. So it's fun having them be a part of the experience and getting them on videos and stuff too every now and then. So it's great.
And what a blessing too, to just, you know, have your parents just completely accept you for the way you are and appreciate you and just seeing you as a human being, you know, with their own expression and everything. Yeah, that's absolutely really cool.
Yeah, because I look at that in parenting as seeing them as their own human. And it's like, hold on, at the end of the game here, like I want them to be their own person, expressing how they express and being the person they want to be and not having to unpack all this bullshit trauma that I instilled in them. So it's like, I try my hardest to just let them be exactly who they are. Like yesterday, Aiden was at his friend's house. He rode the e-bike across town and he was hanging out. And I had this really funny, I was like about to cook dinner and I was like, shit, I got to get Aiden home. And I almost sent him a text like, bro, I need you to get home. You know, and I was like, hold on a second, Daniel, like what, like he's his own person out there, like living his life, being free. You know, I was like, hey, you got some money, you got the keys to the bike, you know, kind of thing like that. And like set him free to go be a person out in the world. Mm-hmm. And I changed it to be like, hey, bro, I'm going to make some dinner. Could you come home before 7? Kind of thing like that. Hope you're having a good time. And it was like, I caught myself in this old like parent conditioning of like, hey, you do what I say. You be me. You know, you have to subscribe to my will. And it's like, no, fuck you, Daniel. Like, let these kids be themselves. Let them become their own people. Like nurture that within them so they don't have to have all these traumas and things to unpack and they can live their lives in a beautiful way. So I really enjoy that in parenting, of just allowing them to be and have their own expression and who they are and like nurturing that. And, you know, it's a good, I love it.
That is so cool. Like it's like you're, I guess, being proactive, you know, like, so we don't have to deconstruct things later on, you know.
Well, it's like I work with clients every day, like unpacking these traumas that their parents like instilled in them, and I'm like, right, I gotta up my game here, like, shit.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It keeps me accountable, having like literally every day in emotional alchemy work with people, I'm helping people unpack these things that parents have said and put on them, and blocking their voice and blocking their expression and helping them to become free. Cause that's the conditioning. That's the perspective. Right. That's the whole toilet paper moment where your parents taught you to do the toilet paper, pull it off the roll and crunch it or fold it. And you learned it then, and you still do it now. And it's like, until you learn to feel a new way about yourself, until you consciously bring that up to consciousness and reprogram it, like, you're fucked. You're stuck in that emotion. You're stuck in that feeling. And so I'm like, well, if I can just let my kids be people now and learn to be a real person and express themselves the way they want to express, they don't have to unpack all that stuff. They arrive in life simply where they are.
Exactly. And well, and I think too, a lot of parents do those things out of fear.
Yeah, totally. I know. That's context. That's how we do it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of TikTok, I really love your handle on your bio. It says, "I'm here to destroy dogmas and love you so hard." I was like, I think that's what sold me on following you, was reading that.
Yeah.
And which brings me into another aspect, of your media, is your podcast. So you have a podcast called Life is a Thing. I've been listening to it. I really enjoy it.
Oh, I love it.
And in your latest episode, you talk about why you left Christianity. Could you kind of unpack that for us? You know, what led you away from Christianity, and why do you feel like dogma can be dangerous?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great topic. Yeah, that whole, just starting with that the Instagram, like the profile blip of like, here to destroy dogmas and love you so hard. It's like all of those dogmas are the thing that keep us constrained. Mm-hmm. We have dogmas in religion. We have dogmas in culture. We have dogmas in parenting. Oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. When everything is a possibility, like in the atomic structure of everything, it's like there's a mathematical possibility for anything. You know what I mean? And we just get stuck. We limit ourselves to experiencing the beauty of life by saying it has to be this way or it has to be that way. Mm-hmm. And some of the dogmatic stuff was coming out of Christianity, and then like healing myself, spending that time to like deconstruct, and then starting this meditation circle in the middle of Hippieville, which is exactly why I always sniff crystals and things like that. And it's like I started this meditation circle, and it had over 1,000 people come through it at during its lifetime. And I got exposed to every form of, not every form, but like almost every form of different spirituality and different people with their different dogmas. And it's like feeling into people's emotions and just being in this like real balanced state. The more dogmatic anybody was coming through that circle about this is the way it should be, the more emotionally dysregulated they were. I could feel it in them. When I hugged them, the more fucked they were. And I was like, no, like, fuck all these dogmas. Like, I'm done with all this. Like, be free. Your moment is the moment. And anything you're saying constrains you to the moment. It limits you from being in your moment. Anyway, you're saying, like, your moment is simply it. All of that other stuff is a construct. Like, you're only here in this moment. All of those past feelings are nothing more than electrical chemical sensations running through your body. All of the things you think are going to happen in the future don't exist, and you're creating them right now based on how you feel. So if you're saying you have to follow this dogma to arrive somewhere in the future, you're never going to arrive because you'll always be chasing arrival. Just motherfucking arrive right now. Be that. Like, be arrived. Choose it in every moment. And then everything else is just working it out. Everything else is just human school. Everything else is just doing it. So it's like I experienced all these like stupid ass religious dogmas from all these other spiritual traditions. And I was like, no, I'm done with this. I'm so done with this. Like, be free in this moment. Like, you're here, you're arrived, you're done. Be in this moment, be here, you know? And it's like, don't You don't got to chase all this stuff. You don't got to believe that something is going to arrive you, because you can get there at any different way, because at the end of every single dogma and religion and spiritual path is arrival itself, and the whole time you've been there to start with. So it's just, I just get passionate about fucking dogmas up, because I'm like, no, those are literally the things that limit people from arrival. And if you want to arrive, it's a choice. It's a moment of saying, ah, here I am, of stopping. And that's, you know, we get into yoga and stuff and all the breath, of stopping the simple moment of the breath. Like, ah, this is beautiful, to stop and smell the flowers, to see the beauty of the world around you, to change your perspective in that. And anything else that pulls you outside of that is all your wounds and all that past stuff to deal with. And anything you're worrying about in the future is the stuff that's going to fuck up your future, because you're worrying about that. You're feeling anxious about it in the future. And your moment is creating your future. So you're feeling anxious about it in your moment, which is literally creating an anxious future. So to come back outside of those dogmas into your moment, into arrival, where we all are, and some of us eventually discover that we are there to start with, and we didn't have to do all the things. And I figure the only way to destroy all the dogmas is to love people and to show them a new way and to be that and to be in that space. And so I can't destroy the dogmas without loving people. So I got to destroy dogmas and love people so hard. So that's kind of how that little that little bio blip came about. You know, it all came about from being in this heavy dogma of Christianity and being raised in the church and, you know, having, you know, the crazy church lady mom and you know, having all the fear of the hell and the rapture and all that stuff. And just all that heavy church tradition and conditioning and dogmas. And now, as I've thought deeply into it and felt deeply into it and studied stuff. And it's like, I look at it and I'm like, holy shit, this whole debacle of Christianity is literally just Rome still. Like, Rome never went away. They just changed brands. It was a 1,000 year.
Right. Exactly.
A 1,000 year empire. Like, think of it. 1,000 years, like the United States, what are we, 350 years old or something like that? And it's a shit show. Like, they were going for 1,000 years. In the middle of that 1,000 years, is when they killed Jesus. In the middle of that 1,000 year reign is when they executed Jesus for witchcraft, because under Roman tabla, the only punishable crime by crucifixion was witchcraft. So they literally executed Jesus as a witch. All of the Christian traditions are all built around paganism and Gnosticism and Christianity and things. And Christianity was the tradition of the time that was setting people free, or not Christianity as we know it, but the followers of Christ who were teaching love and were teaching that way of being centered and being in the moment. And so what do you think Jesus was talking about when the disciples were like, hey, you want us to get these fucking kids out of here? They're messing up your vibe. And he's like, back off, guys. He's like, these kids are closer to the Father than you are. And he's talking about he's talking about oneness of being. The kids are just playing there in the dirt and happy. They don't have all the conditioning. They don't have all the dogmas. They don't have all the programming. He's like, look at these kids. He's like, they know what's up. They're in it. They're in their moment. They're having a good time. They're closer to the Father. They're closer to source. They're closer to oneness. They're closer to connected. They're closer to arrival than you are. And that's what Jesus was teaching. He's just, be there. The kingdom is here. And so these people were becoming free. And when people become free, they don't want to pay their taxes. And Rome had this massively spread out empire all over the world, you know what I mean? And it's like this tiny hub that controls this whole wheel. And the spokes were breaking because people weren't caring about it anymore. So they had to come up with a new way to collect taxes. And so then they write all this stuff out. And they didn't write it. They just took all these teachings of the time and smashed them up into the Bible, from Judaism and Gnosticism and Christianity and all these different things. And they mashed it all up into the Bible. They edited it 3 different times because it didn't make sense. It was a completely illiterate culture. The first teachings of Jesus didn't even come about until 55 to 70 years after his death. And the literate culture that passed things through oral tradition. Like, none of the shit makes sense. If you actually think about it and you actually like think into the element of Rome and the fact that they crucified Jesus as a witch, and then they did away with all of the witchcraft and energy work and things like that, because that was the stuff setting people free. That was the stuff that was healing people's emotions. That was stuff that was helping people feel a better way and be within themselves. It didn't have anything to do with the warty nose shit. Like, it didn't have anything to do with that. It was like the energy workers and the acupuncturists and the herbalists, and they did away, like, literally all the hermetical wisdom. They did away with all of that. They suppressed all of it. And that's all the stuff from ancient Egypt and things. And that's from astrology and all that thing, all the things like that. And the Catholic Church just was like, no, we can't have this, because people don't care about the machine anymore. they don't care about paying their taxes anymore. I mean, even Jesus' teachings on taxes, they're like, who should we give money to, God or Rome? And he's like, let me see the coins, you son of a bitch. It's like, whose face is on it? And it's like, Caesar. He's like, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and God's to God. He's like, I don't give a shit. Like, live your life. He's like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. And so, of course, people were like, I don't know about this whole Rome thing. I'm just going to live my life and be free. Like, we have everything we need right here. We don't need this empire to tell us what to do. So they weren't paying their taxes. So they instilled the church. And it wasn't until the third century, which is 300 years after Christ's death, when they were canonizing the Bible and they put in the teachings of original sin and stuff like that. They put in the teachings of you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn forever if you don't follow this dogma, if you don't follow this tradition. Then they had to redo the Bible. They had to re-edit it two different times. And then every single translation we have of the Bible is a translation of the three original versions, which were tons of shit that was taken out. I mean, look at Enoch. Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. Enoch transcended somehow into a quantum tunneling beam of light. He was on the earth and then he was no more. He was one and then he was not there anymore. There's historical record of it in the Old Testament, but the book of Enoch is omitted from the Bible because it's talking about all this mysticism and weird shit. They didn't want to put that one in there because it didn't follow along with the dogma. It didn't follow along with the system of control. And this is a completely illiterate culture where they say this man in the funny hat comes up and dresses up like God and stands at this big old pulpit and says in a loud booming voice, you're going to go to hell if you don't do these things. And one of those things is to pay 10% to the church because they weren't getting their taxes the other way. So nobody didn't care anymore. Nobody cared anymore. So they had to create something for people to care about. And then Rome eventually kind of disbanded. But we're still doing the same fucking thing in our culture. We're still doing the exact same thing in the West because we came from Rome. Look at the railway tracks. They're 6 feet, four foot, 6 inches wide or something like that. And they're 4 foot, 6 inches wide because the wagon carts for the donkeys that were doing the railroad work were 4 foot, 6 inches wide. And the donkey carts were that wide because the carts of the time and all the carts from the time are that wide because they came from Europe. And all the carts from that time were that wide in Europe because the ruts in the Roman roads were that wide because the Roman chariots were that wide. And it's the same way every single thing of culture gets passed down. It doesn't go away all that fast. It takes a long time to shift culture. Mm-hmm. Like, look at how many massive shifts we've had in the United States just in a few hundred years. And it's not even shifted all that well. It's still a shit show. It's still fucked up. And everybody's still miserable. And it all came from Rome. And that whole Bible tradition and that whole churchianity bullshit comes from the same tradition to get people to subscribe to the system and pay the man their taxes. And it's total bullshit. So you got to just teach people how to love. You got to teach people how to not care about that shit. You got to teach people how to be there in their moment. And you got to break that stuff. And I know they kill people for things like that. But, you know, someone's got to do it.
Exactly. Like, rebel against the system.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Jesus was. That's what original Christians were. They were like, nah, we're going to live. We're going to be free. We don't care about this. And that's why they killed him. That's why Rome persecuted him. That's why they threw him in lion pits and stuff like that. Because they're like, no, we're not doing your system. We're going to be free.
Right. And what a tangle web they weaved over the next several thousand years.
Oh, yeah. And there's still all the, you know, I'm sure there's still all the, you know, dark societies and guys laughing the muhaha laugh, smoking their cigars as they pull the strings of society and manipulate political and economic structures and things like that. Mm-hmm. But if you don't give a shit about it and you live your life in the moment, they lose their power over you.
Exactly.
You stop watching the news, they stop watching the propaganda machine of them saying, oh, you got to fight these guys and you guys got to fight these guys. They lose their power.
Right. And perpetuate division.
Exactly.
Man, well, I dig that.
So that's basically what that little profile bio means. That's the long version of the profile bio.
The long version. I love all of it. And thank you, you know, for clarifying that. So on your podcast, I wanted to kind of jump back about that. You know, what kind of topics do you discuss on your podcast?
Oh, all things. I don't know, whatever comes to me at the time. Like, it's the same as the videos. It's just like longer format, you know.
Right.
On the podcast, I just sort of whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm talking about. And I, honestly, I have a couple episodes recorded and I haven't even posted them because it's been so busy with all the TikTok stuff. But yeah, it's just whatever's kind of coming up for me at the time. And I'm trying to get my schedule and things, like doing the emotional alchemy work, doing all the TikToks lined up, so I have a little bit more like mental bandwidth to do more podcast episodes, because I do like talking about things in a little longer format where somebody can get, you know, an hour of information instead of just a little 60-second blip on TikTok. So right. But yeah, it's sort of a range of everything from emotional stuff to learning how to feel your feelings to, you know, Christianity to things I'm going through, experiences, you know, stories and things like that. It's just sort of, I don't know, it's life as a thing. It's just life.
There you go. Yeah. And there you are. So in your, let's talk about your TikTok videos. In your videos, you talk a lot about, you know, how our perception creates our reality and the power of making a choice and to view it differently. And how that can have a tremendous effect on how we experience life. So how would you say your clients and your TikTok followers feel about that piece of advice in your experience?
The clients come to it of that, like seeing the perspective point of how that creates your reality after I, you know, work with them a little bit and do coaching and things like that. A lot of TikTok people, I get, it's funny. I almost like, sometimes I get a little sad because I don't get a lot of hate on TikTok because, oh man, I love responding, like doing video responses to the angry comments. I just think it's the funniest thing because I really don't give a shit. I'm just like, it's fun for me.
Right.
So it's like when you preach that authentic truth and you embody it, like it's hard to fight. Nobody can fight that. Mm-hmm. If I'm there living it and they feel it coming out of me, it's only the people that are like so far off on the spectrum that are so hurting that they can't even imagine being that and arriving at that point, that those are the ones that this is bullshit. But that's like all they say. They never have an actual argument for anything I say. They're just like, or somebody, you know, I got the one guy, Charleston guy, who always comments. He's this like devout Christianity dude. And it's the funniest thing to me. His first comment was like, give this guy a clown nose and, you know, some funny shoes, you know, kind of thing.
Oh,
like,
man.
He still comments regularly and I love it because it gives me some of my best content. So it's like every time he like comments, I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Here comes a hot video. And and so it's like, I don't know. People get it. I think people that are following that have been there, that are actually engaging, like they get the how perspective, like your perception creates your reality, how you view the world. And I think mm-hmm. that when the haters come on there and say something, it shows how exactly what I'm talking about. It's like they're illustrating my points. It's like, yep, that's your right. perception. Look how miserable you are. Like, we're all here having a good time being in love together. And here you are coming with all your hate, being a dick, like get out of here, you know, like, right. or hang out and still be offended. It's fine with me.
Right.
You know, it's, I don't know. It's, I think the general followers like get it, that their perception is truly creating their reality and they're learning to actually feel that. And I think that's why they're hanging out, you know?
Right. And it seems like a simple concept too, you know, and it's really, it's simple and it's not, you know, it's all the things. And I guess people may think, well, is it really that easy? You know, can I just shift the way that I think and things will start to fall in line for me? Is it really about, you know, is it more about thought? Is it more about emotion? Like,
Yeah, that perception of reality is all ego. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our senses coming in. That's your sight coming in. That's your hearing. That's your taste. That's your touch. That's how you're perceiving the world around you. Mm-hmm. And that as that comes in through your processing centers, like that's the ego. Like you have this, and honestly, the energy we pick up from other people. I mean, we have a piezoelectric structure of our bones, which is literally the same way the quartz radios work. Like we are these energetic beings that are transmitting energy in our field all around us and everybody's picking it up. Mm-hmm. And so that perception, the deeper you are in perception of thought is just an ego, but the deeper you are in perception of feel is the greater whole, is that greater 90%. So perception can be viewed differently. Like, how do you feel it? You trust your gut? You trust your heart? You know, do you trust the signals of your body, or are you just thinking about it? So perception is a whole range of understanding, and people are at different levels of how they perceive the world around them, how they're thinking about it, or how they're feeling into it. The people that are thinking into it real hard are the people with heavy dogmas, that this is the way it must be. And those are all safety mechanisms to protect themselves from their own fear of being, their own fear of arrival.
Right. I totally agree. And, you know, and you were talking about earlier, you were talking about your human design. You said you're a manifester.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, we even perceive, you know, through our human design, you yep. know, and just based off of what our authority is, you yep. know, like, for example, I'm a manifesting generator. I have sacral authority. You know, I perceive and I listen to my gut, whatever my gut tells me.
Totally.
Is how I'm led, how I'm directed.
I don't remember what my authority is in human design. It might be heart. I don't even remember, but I haven't delved like super deeply into it. I just know that I'm a manifester, and I think it's really funny because the only channel in human design that I have fully connected to like ground is my, it's like the, I don't remember what it's called. It's like the jack of all trades. It's like the being able to kind of just figure it out sort of thing. And it's all subconscious. It's not even conscious for me. It's like, it's a subconscious channel. Everything else, there's nothing else connected. So I'm real up in the clouds all the time. I'm real in the, in the ether of just like feeling it and thinking about it and just kind of like feeling about it, not even so much thinking about it anymore. But then when I need to create something, it's all subconscious. Like it just happens. Like the meditation circle thing, that was just this phenomena. I didn't mean to do it. I just was meditating and invited other people to meditate. And then it turned into an entire community. And then even TikTok, I wasn't like thinking about, I never thought about, oh, I'm going to grow my big following. I was even talking with a couple of other people and they were like, oh yeah, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do the trends. And I was like, yeah, fuck that. I'm just going to do what feels good. And here we are. You know,
right. And here we are blasting
along, you know? So yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. It's a trusting the process of just following what feels right for me and following my own truth. And then it becomes so.
Right. And I feel like following your truth is, you know, once again, like you said, being led by the ego, it's hard to trust your truth in the beginning anyway. And it's a process, you know, it takes trust to build trust.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a practice of trusting yourself in your truth. It's a practice of being okay. And that's the practice of dealing with your shit and clearing out all your old traumas and your old negative self stories and belief systems and stuff like that. Right. It's a process of learning to trust yourself and to learning to express your truth exactly how you want to express it. And then you realize, oh, everything else is just fear blocking you from your own truth. Everything else is my wounds and stuff. And that's earth school for you. You know, all the context and stuff. That's it. You know, it's the thing that we're in right now. And that's in the energetic perspective. This is just a moment of perception. Like as far as energy works, it's all happening right now in this one giant field. And we're just in one space of the field perceiving, this is the way things are, when it is all, and we are all one. We are all perceiving each other through our lens of perception, but you and I are both digital ghosts right now. Like we don't know each other, but we feel each other in the vibrations of our words and talking with each other. We're nothing but perception in each other's minds. You see me on TikTok and videos and things like that, and you perceive me one way based on your context. Oh, here's a guy in some funny glasses and a brightly colored shirt. But it's like, that's just your perception of me. And my words come out of my mouth as complete wind because my linguistic patterns that I create mean something to me, and they mean something completely different to the entire audience that watches around the world. It's like, we may have some cultural understanding of each other based on, oh, this word means this to me, that means that to you, but that's all a feeling. Every single concept is nothing more than a feeling. Like, go ahead and like conceptualize a foozle right now. Can you do it? think about a foozle. You have no idea what the fuck a foozle is because I just made it up.
Right.
It's something that you can't feel. Like, feel a foozle. What does that feel like? Does it feel like love? Does it feel like hate? Is it hot? Is it cold? You have no idea. It's just a made up. It's a made up mumbling of my mouth. It's complete wind, just like everything else, because everything else hits you and it feels a certain way based on your context. So all the words are completely wind. It doesn't mean anything. It's all our perception of the words. It's all our perception of the energy coming out through the sound waves that my vocal cords are creating and hitting this microphone and going through fucking space and getting recorded on Arbor and going to some podcast thing, going through space again, hitting somebody's device and listening to them and creating sound waves into their ears. Like, it's just nothingness, and it's all one at the same time, and it's all how we perceive it.
Absolutely. I dig that. I love how you just paint this picture with your words, though. I will say, I appreciate that very much.
No, you're welcome.
So now this question is for me, really, because I got super curious. I want to talk about your influences. Who are your major influences? And please share anything you feel that people would benefit from knowing about these individuals.
Yeah, influences in my journey. It's funny, I used to, now I can honestly say Jesus as one, when it still triggers me a little bit coming from Christianity. But now being able to rethink back into his teachings from this perspective, I'm like, damn, this dude was on it. Like that, yes. that truth of like that consciousness of Christ, like the feeling of that, like what he was actually trying to say, not what churchianity is trying to say. Mm-hmm. But man, that dude was a person of love, and he was in it. He was right there. And it's just really beautiful. So it's like, I can honestly say that it is so deeply ingrained. It's like, once I undid all of the traditions and the dogmas of Christianity, and I could just feel what he was about, I was like, damn, bro, like you got the sauce, you know?
Right.
And like books, like authors, I Ram Dass, he was very influential in my journey, just in a lot of his lectures and stuff, just his spirit, because he never tells you to do anything. He just is. And he tells you stories in love. And then the vibration of that love hits you and you're like, oh, I can be that. I've listened to some of his lectures 10 times over and I've learned something new every single time because it's all my perception. Okay. But he models it as a guru. He models that, embodies it. And so that's a beautiful teacher right there. I really like Michael Singer, his vibe of that, you know, doing the Untethered Soul and Surrender Experiment. Those are very, when I read his stuff, I was like, bro, yes, like I get this. Like just being in that moment and accepting what is. And Eckhart Tolle is great. I like Joe Dispenza's work. I don't know. I've read a lot of stuff outside of, not necessarily in spirituality, a lot of stuff in trauma and, you know, kind of weird neuroscience stuff and quantum mechanics and things like that. So I don't remember the names of those guys, but I could say, I guess Jesus and Ram Dass and Michael Singer and Tolle and those guys would be good influences if anybody's wondering about people who, you know, have good vibrations of their words.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a huge fan of Dr. Joe Dispenza. He, his explanation of, you know, how to truly live in this now moment and, you know, working within the quantum field just as you go about your day-to-day life is really powerful.
Yep. Yeah, I like Dispenza stuff. I think he's like a modern teacher. He's mm-hmm. From what we now know in science and things like that, he's integrating that with like the ancient spiritual traditions to modern science and what we now understand, because every single spiritual tradition has been something that's been felt. It's been some, oh, did you feel this? Oh, I stretched my body like this and I got in this pose. I felt this neat thing. I felt some kundalini snakes when I like huffed and puffed. I felt the Holy Spirit within me when I danced around and did my, and sang and danced, things like that. Oh, I felt this when I did breath work. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. it's like a feeling of something in you. It's energy in motion. It's literally like the flow of energy from the electrons jumping from atom to atom. And that's how energy works. I mean, that's how your body's working. So it's like we feel these different things in different realms, and then we put some dogma around it and to say, oh yeah, this is what it is. And then we create this tradition of spirituality, which then turns into religion, and then everybody's fucked. So it's like Dispenza's doing great work in that hybrid of like science to mysticism, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, and he's got a very powerful testimony too. I don't know if you know his backstory or anything.
I cannot remember his backstory right now, but everything I've read on his stuff, it's been a few years since I've really read a lot of stuff on his. I just dig his work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he kind of carries this a very similar message as you do, is, you know, our perception creates our reality. And he talks about, you know, how to kind of transcend, you know, all of these egoic, you know, spots that are, you know, that are clouding our vision, you know, and rising up, basically rising above the Maya is how I would describe it, in order to, you know, feel that oneness that you were speaking of.
Yeah, totally.
It's really powerful stuff. So now to my final and probably my most important question that I have for you today is that I noticed that you like to sniff crystals in your videos.
I do like to sniff crystals.
You do. I'm curious, what is your favorite one to sniff, and do they all smell different?
You know, I'm going to be honest, they all just smell like a rock, which smells basically like, like nothing. Yeah. I'm holding my amethyst one right now that I like. It's purple and pointy. And I sniffed a crystal one day as a joke on a video. Because I was talking about the 5D people ascending to some fifth dimension and turning into a beam of light. And that kind of stuff just, it gets me because it's so dogmatic. And it's like, I understand the principle of that awareness of being a new person. It's like, that's like a definition and a dogma of living in a moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of ranting about it for a second. And then as a joke, I just gave Crystal a big sniff because I was like, oh, these guys love crystals. And I just kind of like sniffed it in the video, you know, just had a,
yeah,
like made a joke about it, and it was just too funny. So I was like, oh, I gotta keep doing that. And so now I just, anytime there's like some crystal, or anytime somebody makes like this, the shitty comments, I'll go sniff a crystal, and it's like it's calming me down or something. And I really? there is something about this purple one where I'm like, I'm gonna change my brain to think that this smells like grape bubble gum, and eventually I'm going to change my neural pathways to trick my brain to make this smell like grape. So soon, and very soon, this purple crystal that I'm holding in my hand right here is going to smell like grape bubblegum. But I think that when it comes to crystals and things like that, I had a client come into town not this last week, the weekend before, just beautiful mm-hmm. experience. We did some really deep emotional work, some alchemy work with him. We did a mushroom journey with him, and we were out integrating and walking around town. Sarah and I were with him, and we went to one of the local crystal shops, and he's just not that guy. He like resonated with my vibe, but he's not into that. And he's like, Sarah's like, she's like, pick out a crystal you like, you know? And he's like, and he's like holding it. She's like, feel the energy in your hands. And he's holding it. And he goes, she's like, what does it feel like? He's like, it feels like I'm holding a rock in sweaty hands. And I was like, nope. That's it. You felt it. But I was like, no, I was like, it's not that the crystal imparts any massive energy. Yes, there's a particular energetic structure to every single thing. And a crystal mm-hmm. holds a particular energetic structure, but it's not that the crystal will heal you. That's not that the crystal will impart something to you that will make you arrive. It's when mm-hmm. you arrive at that point of being, you see the crystal and the beauty of it, and you're so present with the moment with it that you're like, God damn, this is beautiful. Like, I feel the energy of this beauty. I feel this in a different way. And it's not about the crystal changing you. It's about the crystal is like a focal point of how you've changed and how you feel deeply into the world. And so that's how I kind of look at them. So it's like, I love them. I love rock shops. I fucking love all of them. I get in there and I'm like, oh, I want this giant orb. Damn it, it's $6,000. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, right. I'm like, I love them. I like to feel the beauty of them. And yeah, there's things like shungite and things like that that will block EMFs. And there's some things that will actually do a little bit for you on this electromagnetic spectrum. But how you feel and your perception and your perspective is creating that energetic field, the actual toroidal field that is you. And that is so much more powerful than any input that a crystal can give you from its energetic structure. Because if we're talking about vibrations here, the fact that it is a rock and it's cold is an extremely low vibration. Like temperature is measured by how fast the electrons are vibrating in an atom. And when we're talking about vibrating into some beam of light or something like that, it's like nobody actually wants to do that. Like the first thing that's going to happen if you start vibrating at a frequency moving towards a beam of light is you're going to get real fucking sweaty. Because you're going to get real hot because those atoms are agitated just like a microwave agitates. That's a very high vibration as a microwave. And when you put something with water in it in a microwave, what happens? It gets hot because it agitates all the atoms of the water and it heats up the food. And so if we were to actually be transcending into a beam of light the way that these different dogmas say we are, which that's the kind of stuff that pisses me off a little bit, it's like, no, first you're going to get sweaty. Then your skin's going to start melting off and your clothes are going to burn off and you're going to turn into that guy from Raiders of the Ark or Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones, where his skin melts off his face. And I was like, that's what's going to happen to you if you actually were to turn into a beam of light. Now, if you could adjust your consciousness to let go of your ego so hard that you could quantum tunnel into time and space, yes, that's kind of like transcending into a beam of light. That's kind of like Jesus moves. That's kind of like Enoch moves of being with God and then you are no more. Where you can actually change the atomic structure through your belief, through your faith, through your will, through your all of that stuff. You can change your atomic structure, the actual like mathematical configuration of your atoms to will them into a new state of oneness where you bounce off into a beam of light. But when you're in human school and you're trying to turn into a beam of light, all you're going to do is give yourself anxiety. So sniff that crystal and calm yourself down. Just give it a nice sniff. Calm it all down. Be in Earth school. Be right where you are. Don't try to jump to some dimension that you don't know where it is because you're scared of being yourself. Be free in this moment.
Be free.
And you are free.
I love it. Wow. Well, that was a very much a roller coaster ride.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here for destroying dogmas and loving you so hard. And I love you, sister.
Oh, I love you, Daniel. Thank you so, so much for carving out time. I know you're a busy person and I know you got your kiddos. In closing, please tell everybody how they can find you and contact you.
Yeah, you can just hit me up on danieltyak.com. And whenever you're listening to this episode, it's right now, it's just honestly, it's like a contact form and some bullshit because I've been real busy and haven't built it out. But if you fill out that contact form, you can say, hey, we have three different options. And my lovely Sarah works with me too. We both do emotional alchemy coaching, which is the process of sitting and feeling deeply down into your emotions and reprogramming these negative self stories and belief systems. We also both do coaching calls to just kind of help you come into the state of peace. And Sarah is a being of love. Like she is just talking to her on the phone to schedule a call heals people. Like she is truly connected and truly in the same like beautiful state. And so either one of us to do a emotional alchemy session with or a coaching call with. And then for people that can't afford those, we have a group call, a community call that we've been doing a weekly call. And there's a couple different groups going, a men's group and a women's group where we're teaching the methods of emotional alchemy for people that it's sort of like a self-work practice where when we're one-on-one with you, we tap in with you and we feel the things within you. We feel it with you. Like we'll be crying with you. We'll be feeling all the horrible things with you, like literally in our own bodies. And it's quite draining for us. So we only got a couple of those a day. So this, the group call is like, we teach you how to do it. And then it's up to you to do the work on your own. So we have a few different options. So if anybody's interested and needs some help working through their stuff and reprogramming or just coming to grips with something philosophically or wants to jump in on the group calls, just hit the contact form on the website on danieltyak.com. You can also find me on TikTok. It's just the username is also danieltyak.com on TikTok. So just search Daniel Tyak. And it's D-A-N-I-E-L-T-Y-A-C-K. And then my Instagram, if you want to kind of follow along for more fun family stuff. My kids and I skating and doing things. That's just Daniel Tyak as well. So just Google search Daniel Tyak and you'll find stuff.
Awesome. Daniel, it's been such a pleasure. And I want to send everybody who is listening today love. I hope you have a wonderful, beautiful rest of your week. Everybody take care.